What are the factors that make a successful temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? The concept of being successful, of course, is largely a Western, modern Western concept. The idea that one should be a success, better than others, but in Krishna consciousness we think of a success, not that we're trying to be better than others, but our success is to become the servant of others, specifically the servant of Krishna, and via Krishna the servant of others. Give them an asana to sit on. So I'll speak briefly this morning on some of the factors. Some of them may not be applicable here because we don't really have a fully fledged temple. It's just a start here. And all of the factors could be discussed in more detail. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for preaching Krishna consciousness. So one factor of a successful temple is there's a strong preaching spirit that will make everything vibrant. When we say a successful temple, I go back to that point. I mean, we can see within our movement that, you know, some temples, when you go in, there's a vibrant mood and devotees are happy, whereas others less so, or even markedly less so. They're at the other end of the scale. So a strong preaching spirit. Of course, there may be village temples also in where there are farming projects, but for most of our centers to date are in the cities. So the reason to be in a city is not that it's convenient to collect from people and live comfortably, but to preach to them. So there should be a strong preaching spirit. Being in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness means to be under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, who very much emphasized the distribution of his books. In one letter he wrote that our temples are not meant for places, they're not meant to be places for eating and sleeping, but places from which we go out to distribute many books. So book distribution will help to keep the atmosphere strong by the preaching spirit, and we get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, which is the major factor, because even if in any other, even if in every other way we are successful, but we don't have the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, then it's all one big zero. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. Even if we appear to be successful, if we're not actually pleasing Srila Prabhupada, then it's all a big zero. So you may think, well, how is that possible? Well, it is possible if we to apparently be successful in bringing in money and keeping the show rolling on. We might be very good at doing that, but if we're not really trying to bring people to Krishna consciousness, then we're not fulfilling the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. It might be the temple might be run efficiently like some kind of corporation or something like that, but the aim is to please Srila Prabhupada, which means by pleasing Prabhupada we'll please Krishna. And how will we please Srila Prabhupada? By pleasing Krishna. In the temple, the deities, the deity or deities are the center in any spiritually strong and healthy community. The devotees are consciously trying to please the deity. When they say, when they think of Krishna, they think our Krishna, that we're doing everything for the pleasure. Just like, for instance, if you're in Vala Vidyanagar for Sri Sri Radha Girit Hari, in Bhaktivedanta Manor for Radha Gokulananda, so we announce how many books were distributed every day before the deity. If we see something is broken, we think, well, this is Radha Gokula Ananda's palace, so everything should be first class for them. And in this way, the consciousness very much focused on the deity. We bring ourselves, present ourselves before the deity every day. So we attempt to please Srila Prabhupada and get his mercy. We can do that by pleasing Krishna. The two things go on side by side, pleasing Guru and Krishna side by side. We also have to understand what is the mission and the spirit of Srila Prabhupada, what he wanted us to do. There are many directions that Srila Prabhupada gave for how temples should be. For instance, he wrote one letter that everyone who comes to the temple should get prasadam, and not just some. We see in some temples they have some batasha or something like that. That's a Bengali word. I think you say in Gujarati also some, it's just sugar. Or they have some mishri with some kishmish or something like this. That's the prasadam. But Prabhupada said that hot puris with sabji and halava. Their sabji should be kept hot, and whenever anyone comes, you have the dough ready and put the puri in. So here you are with two and a half men, one's got 1 foot outside the door. That may not be very possible, but everyone should get prasadam. So that's just one, I'm just giving that as one example of the kind of instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave, that in his letters, and he gave many verbally also. There is a compilation of, subject-wise compilation of Srila Prabhupada's instructions in a three-volume work. A three-volume work compiled by Ajamil Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's Shikshamrita. So you'll find many practical directions in there for what Srila Prabhupada's mission, his vision specifically for temple management. The devotees should be strong, committed. They should know what Prabhupada's mission is and be committed to that mission. As I've heard that Prabhupada said, we don't want lazies or crazies. Lazy people or crazy people. We cannot push on the movement. Of course, if it's a big community and we of devotees, and most of them are basically strong, then you can have a few mercy cases, as we call them. But not that the basic population of the temple is, they're more like Shiva's gunas than Vaishnavas, like ghostly people. But they should be fresh, alert, enthusiastic, committed. Otherwise, it's very difficult to organize the movement for its purpose, for the preaching. The temple should not, just like in Orissa, I don't know about now, but it used to be that if you want to criticize someone as being lazy and useless, you'd call them a matua, which means someone who lives in a mut. They're just useless people. They do nothing and they collect a little rice, and that's what they do. They cook it, they eat it, they fight with each other and go to sleep. That's their whole life. But our temples, we should have people who actually want to serve Krishna. I remember shortly after I joined in England, I was given the task of sweeping the stairs. I can't remember whether it was in Berry Place or It must have been at Berry Place, yeah, where they have five stories, so a lot of stairs. And as I was doing it, I was thinking, oh, this is what my mother used to make me to do. I hated doing it then. And then the temple commander saw my reluctant attitude and got quite angry with me and said, look, I'll show you how to clean for Krishna. And that was a transformational moment in my attempts at being Krishna conscious, where I thought, oh, wait a minute, yes, everything's being done for Krishna, it's not just drudgery, so everything should be done enthusiastically. Srila Prabhupada said that if all the devotees are following the temple program, and four regulated principles in 16 rounds, then management will be at your fingers' tip. For the temple leaders, first thing you should see is that everyone's attending the temple programs, rising early, fully engaged, and then everyone will be happy and cooperative. That's the way to manage, is by spiritual management. See that discipline should be there. No lazies or crazies. Don't be impersonal with devotees or with guests, that means. Especially in bigger centers, it's difficult in smaller centers. But sometimes devotees, they just, in a big center, they just get in their own space. They do their own service. They don't interrelate with others. Or sometimes we see that guests come. Of course, if people are coming daily, that's something else. But if someone new comes, we should welcome them, give them some prasad. Not ignore them, or even worse, think that they are something bothersome. Like Mahatma Gandhi said famously, that what is it? The customer is not the, what is that? The customer is not the botheration for us. He's not an impingement on our business. He's the very purpose of our business. Something like that. I can't remember. He put it more lucidly than I just did. So we're going out and preaching, so if people come to our temple, then we should welcome them. In bigger temples, I know, like I'm saying again, I joined at Bhaktivedanta Manor. It was pretty chaotic when I joined, actually, but within a short time the GBC changed, and the new GBC member was actually a much better manager than the first. Much more Krishna conscious, at least at that time. And one of the things he saw at Bhaktivedanta Manor was a big property with so many people coming there. He appointed a guest manager, that someone whose only service is to greet guests. And of course in bigger temples, like in India, when we have, in some temples there are literally thousands of visitors coming daily. Visitors means bus tours and like this, so it would be good to have someone to greet them, show them round. So that's not a consideration here. Bus tours. Anyway, it'll come to that. Considering that the bus tours, or even just anyone comes, keep everything clean. If everything is spotlessly clean, people will notice. And if everything is just the opposite, people will also notice. And it demonstrates what our level of consciousness is. Also, if we may have the best, and actually we do, that's why we're preaching Krishna consciousness, because we do have the best teachings, we do have the best philosophy, we do have that which can benefit others. But if we can't even keep our temple clean, it doesn't say very much for our own level of consciousness. And why should people be impressed? If actually where there are guest toilets, usually they're the most dirty, because more people use them. If they may be needed to clean twice or even three times a day, but You know, it's not nice if you know, a guest has to go to some toilet which is stinking and this and that. Of course, the previous guests, they, here in India especially, we see that people don't keep toilets very clean. They may not, but it's just a point to, you know, here we are talking about the toilets. Well, yeah, people will judge you by that. It makes an impression. Dust, dirt. Again, people throw garbage. They don't think. So you have to have it cleaned up regularly, maybe 2-3 times a day. I believe at ISKCON in Juhu, they clean up twice a day because they have so many people coming. And people have this habit of throwing gutkha packets and all kinds of things here and there. So keeping everything clean. What other points did I write here? One point is this goes with the point of not being impersonal, that just give everyone prasad, even someone who's coming not to the temple, just like they may be coming, someone came yesterday, the courier service, give them prasadam also. Everyone can be given a little card inviting them to the Sunday programs, like this. To have regular programs going on in bigger temples where many people are visiting, they have kirtan going on all the time. Prabhupada instituted that in Vrindavan and Mayapur, 24-hour kirtan. But in Juhu, in Tirupati, they have kirtan going on all the time. And the quality of kirtan is important because, after all, we are Sankirtan movement. Now, the quality of kirtan cannot be judged just by the musical style. The real thing is what's in our heart, if we're actually praying to Krishna. And sometimes those who are expert in musical style, they're more concerned with being musicians than with actually praying to Krishna. But it is important that the kirtan be melodious, in a simple tune that others can join in. It's not so complex that it just becomes some kind of show. So that's also important, to have good kirtan. There are many other points. Probably the most important point. Yeah, well, we should be Krishna conscious. That means... we understand what Prabhupada's mission is. Yeah, we're not lazy or crazy. The underlying factor is that we're actually Krishna conscious. But even if we are Krishna conscious, it's very important what will make a difference between a temple that really works and one that doesn't, even if the members are nice, sincere devotees, is that the temple president is both spiritually and materially competent. Spiritually means sincere to serve the mission of the acharyas. Himself, setting a good example, to be a temple president requires a good level of material competence. You have to manage. There are so many things, legal matters and financial matters and dealing with all different kinds of people, motivating the devotees. The best way to motivate the devotees is to oneself be an enthusiastic, dedicated servant, always in the morning program and leading from the front. But so spiritually and materially competent, able to deal with various issues that arise. So to a large extent, the mood and the vibrancy or lack of any temple depends on the leadership. So the temple president is not just a manager, has to be a spiritual leader, not just spiritual leader, but also very materially competent, which is why Srila Prabhupada emphasized that we should preach to the students, because students, they are, they can join at some point, some of them. Again, if we're preaching to students, we don't, even those who take up Krishna consciousness, we don't expect that that many are actually going to come and join us, although we'd hope that they may, but they're young and at least they're trained to some extent materially. So that preaching to students, that is along with book distribution, preaching to students, regular Harinam, there are so many factors. So I just spoke about a few of them. Hare Krishna. These lectures that I'm giving here are not Bhimavaram centric, or they're not just for here, but they're meant for a broader audience also. But the principles are the same everywhere. So thank you very much for coming.